Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're together again. And if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And we're going to continue. And I'm almost 100% sure that we will finish this teaching on who the Lord loves, he chastens. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. So if you have your Bibles open to Hebrews 12, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. And it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. So we see chastening is good. Chastening we should not despise, because what it brings to us, it brings us peaceful fruit of righteousness to those of us who have been trained by it. Amen. Now, we found out that God is a spirit, and we are not only spirits also, but we're also his creation. Those of us who have accepted him as Savior and Lord over our lives, we are also part of the family. If God is a spirit and we are his children, we must be also spirits. A black man and a black woman coming together cannot produce a white baby. Two white people cannot come together and have an Asian child. Two Asian cannot come together and produce a Native American child. My point is, God is our Father, and we have to be whatever he is. Our DNA has to match his. Since sickness, disease, trials, and tests affect your flesh, how can God use these things to train you when you are not flesh, but spirit? Cancer does not affect your spirit. Heart attacks does not affect your spirit. Pneumonia does not affect your spirit. Not even COVID or its complications affect your spirit. Therefore, God cannot be using these things to train you, because you are a spirit, and nothing that God would do to your flesh would affect your spirits. Amen. God contacts, leads, guides, trains, and instructs us through our spirits, because that is the lamp he uses. Please go to the book of Proverbs chapter 20. Again, there's Proverbs chapter 20, and let's read verse number 27. It says, "The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart." Now, we know a candle is used for light. So the spirit of the man is the light of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's read verse number 11. It says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." Amen. So God uses our spirits as he contacts, guides, trains, and instructs us by his word. Please go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verse number 16. And let's see the confirmation of this statement. "The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirits that we are children of God." Amen. So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits, because we are spirits. God's Spirit does not bear witness with your flesh or with your soul. It bears witness with your spirit. God trains and teaches us by his word, because his word was designed for our spirits. Amen. As Jesus spoke in John 6, verse 63, please go there. John 6, verse 63, and it says, and this is Jesus speaking, it says, "It is the Spirit that gives life." The who? The Spirit that gives life. "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life." They are spirit and they are life. The words that God speaks are addressed to your spirit, not to your flesh, not to your mind or your soul. God is the Father of spirits, and He uses His word to train our spirit. The man who endures will be blessed. Amen. The man who endures will be blessed. Please go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we're talking about whom the God loves, He chastens. James chapter 1, verse number 12. And it says, behold is the man who endures temptation. Let me repeat that again. It says, behold is the man who endures temptation. I have expressed before that in order to have a meaningful conversation with another person, or you are teaching on a particular subject, you must have an understanding of the meaning of certain words used in that discourse. And in this scripture, we have such a situation before us. Just as we have learned about chastening, the Greek word translated here as endure does not mean what we might think it means in our English language. Endure means to sit quietly and to put up with. Again, endure means to sit quietly and to put up with. Now, let me give you an example of this. Say, for instance, you were out playing basketball or football with the neighborhood kids. You accidentally broke your tooth and exposed a nerve. Now, you would have to endure the pain and the irritation you are experiencing. In other words, you have to put up with it until your dentist can fix the tooth. Am I correct? Exactly. Well, in James 1, verse 12, endure means something entirely different. The word in this verse means to go through a situation. It means to go through a situation. Stand right in the midst of it and have victory over it. Amen. You come out better after it is over than you were before it started. Now, you're still there in James. Let's go to James 1, and we're going to read verses 12 through 17. And it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for whom he who has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shallowing of turning. Amen. Everything good and everything perfect comes from above, from God. Temptations, trials, and tests are not good, and they are not perfect. Sickness and disease are not good, and they certainly are not perfect. Sin is not good, and it is not perfect. Therefore, none of these things are from the Father. Amen. Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Every good gift comes down from God from heaven. If every good gift comes down, then every bad gift must come up from the sinful pit because up is the opposite of down. God sends down the good gifts, and Satan must be sending up the bad things. Temptations, trials, and tests are bad because they damage your body. Let me repeat that. Temptations, trials, and tests are bad because they damage your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God would not create or cause any condition that will have a negative effect on your body. This includes tumors and all malfunctions inside your body, especially the ones that may force a doctor to operate in order to keep you alive. Amen. If God was the author of these malfunctions, he would be destroying his own temple. God wants your body intact, every organ in place and functioning properly, every limb and member functioning as he designed it to operate, because your body is the place in which he dwells. Amen. The chastening of the Lord is never bad, and it does not destroy or damage you. It blesses you. You gain from it. Amen. Because you learn how to win in life. Let me repeat that. The chastening of the Lord is never bad, and it does not destroy or damage you. It blesses you. You gain from it because you learn how to win in life. And I don't know about you, but I'm about winning. I love to win. If I'm playing checkers, marbles, pickup sticks, whatever it might be, I want to win. So this also teaches me the chastening of the Lord, how to win in life. Amen. Do not resent it when our Heavenly Father attempts to teach you. Rather, you should welcome it, because all you will do is succeed when you apply what you have learned from God in your life. Let me repeat that. I think that's very important. Do not resent it when our Heavenly Father attempts to teach you. Rather, you should welcome it, because all you will do is succeed when you apply what you have learned from God in your life. The chastening of the Lord. Once you understand the application, you will love being chastened by the Lord. You look forward to his instructions, and no matter what the enemy will attempt to attack you with, if you remain true to God's teaching, you will always come out of the situation and circumstances better than you were before you started. You will always win. Amen. And that is the conclusion of that teaching on whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I just pray that it would be some new revelation to some of you, and you've taken what you've learned in this teaching and apply it to your lives so you can be a winner in everything you do. Amen. Well, I have a few minutes left, so I'm going to start my new teaching that I have prepared. And this is something that is very dear to my heart. The first title that I gave this particular teaching is The Lust of the Flesh, the Lust of the Eyes, and the Pride of Life. Again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But the teaching, the new title is going to be Not Forsaking the Assembly of Ourselves Together. Not Forsaking the Assembly of Ourselves Together. That is going to be the title. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Proverbs, please. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 20 to 23. And it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Amen. The Word of God always gives us sound advice and instructions on how we should live our lives to be successful in this world. And these verses are no different. As I was reading the news the other day, I came across a news article that was somewhat depressing if you allow it to depress you. The title of this article was, "People No Longer Want to Go to Church," and the 17 reasons why they no longer want to go. Again, the title is, "People No Longer Want to Go to Church," and the 17 reasons why they no longer want to go. Now, the title alone was shocking to me in itself, because why do people not want to go to church? Especially if you have been going there all the time. Me personally, I could not wait for Sunday to be able to go and to fellowship and be with people of like precious faith and to hear the word from the man of God. Amen. Remember, the Bible is not written for sinners. It is a book for Christians. It is our roadmap for our lifestyle here on earth. Amen. But I will be using the Bible as a contrast with these 17 excuses that people don't want to go to church anymore. Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 24 and 25. And it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." Now, believers can have a tremendous impact on each other. That is why we are exhorted to gather together. Exhorting means coming alongside and inspiring another with the truth. The local assembly is where the gospel message is preached, but also where the word of God is applied to the circumstances of our lives. Even though we don't know the day or the hour of Christ's return, but we do know it's intimate, and we should encourage each other even more so to remain faithful to him. Now let's get down to what we have come today here for. And that is the teaching of the word. As I was reading that news article the other day, I came across that article dealt with people who no longer want to go to church. This subject was interesting to me because, being a Christian, I could not understand their reason for not wanting to attend church. The news article had 17 reasons why they stopped attending church, and we are going to examine all 17 of them and see how it lines up with the Word of God. Now, the 17 excuses were these. Well, first of all, let me give this first. The 17 spiritual fulfillment of the 17 excuses, the reason why people don't attend church are this. Number one is this. Seeking spiritual fulfillment elsewhere. Seeking spiritual fulfillment elsewhere. The increasing influence of media and the online world has exposed us to many new ways of life, including new spiritualities and spiritual practices. As a result, a large number of people are choosing to meet their spiritual needs through practices such as meditation and yoga instead of going to traditional church settings. Well, you know what? My time is just about up for this teaching today. But please join us next week where we continue this teaching on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.